My life provides the world an opportunity to see the future in real time, to view the confidence of a winner in a beautiful package. My smile emulates the sun in ways that makes those around me feel the warmth of my love. Joy creates the type of breeze that brings new direction to those that doubt spring is coming. The cooling blue skies that exist in my world are truly infectious. I hate the thought of slumber because it denies me too many moments when I'm not impacting the world. The passion I have for life cannot be contained by the dark clouds of my personal doubts. I have mastered my own negativity in a way that reduces any reduction in my productivity. Now every day is the net profit of my existence. My ball of life bounces off the foundation of obstacles, which were overcome with a smile. I now see the roadblocks as the items that give my reason for living value. My self-worth is discovered in the way that I enjoy bringing happiness to others. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, 6 p.m. Sunday through Friday, East Coast time, 3 p.m. West Coast time, Saturday at 8 p.m. East Coast time, and 5 p.m. West Coast time. This is a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear. It is important that we participate in our world in a way that brings greatness to our existence. It is now time that we make sure that we no longer exist on the sideline, but are fully involved in the game that is going to determine our fate. I look forward to you calling in my show, 657-383-0309, so that your voice is heard without a filter.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
With that message, never better get checked. There ain't no difference second when the king goes sick. For the tail and a check, fuck around and get wet.
Welcome, everyone. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know I'm glad to be here and given the opportunity to share my thoughts with you and have you call in and share yours with me. This is a platform that is made for us to have discussions and make sure that we are on top of the things that are happening around the world. But we're going to take a short break here in the beginning to give everyone an opportunity to call in. And we want you to listen and enjoy. Just a thought. February 5th, 2017. As I view the world around me, I come to understand how much I lost when I was unable to reach beyond the surface of your being. The wall that stood before me didn't allow me the opportunity to cross over to the other side. Now I'm left with what could have been. The loss is permanent and unforgettable. The moments that are not filled with you are very few, and the void is deep. The value of what was shared can't be tossed aside or forgotten. Moving on is just words that don't come with instructions. My heart is unable to take the necessary steps to recover. I'm left with the misfortune of loving someone that required more than I was able to give. Now the darkness is beyond my ability to see, and I tightly hold on to yesterday, knowing that it can't be my tomorrow. My future will never know the love of my past. So I sit quietly, hoping the pain will melt away and allow me to see the comfort of the sun again. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock p.m. West Coast Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. West Coast Time. Call in to 657-383-0309. We can no longer reside in the shadows of life. It is a must that we are out in front of the issues that impact our lives now and in the future. Please visit my website, www.jamestdeshay.com, and also write me at djames82@aol.com. Let me know what you would like to discuss on our radio show. This show is an opportunity for all of us to have a voice.
Well, we're just one short of the Fantastic Four. I want to welcome all of you here. Kathy, how are you doing this evening?
Happy Monday, everyone.
All right. And Joyce, how are you doing?
Hi, Kathy, everybody. I'm doing good. Great. Thank you.
Okay. And Audrey, how are you doing this evening?
Marvelous. Marvelous Monday to everyone. And congratulations to you on your outstanding number.
Yeah. Hi, Audrey. Hi, Joyce.
Hello.
Let me just share a little something with you all before we get started.
Chance, you got to hold on to romance, don't let it slide. There's a special kind of magic in the air when you find another heart that needs to share. Thank you.
I tell you what, yesterday as I was going through a list of songs to add to the list, I just, you know, one of the things I love doing is going back and listening to those old songs and get inspired by them. And I always make sure I never use any of the words that I hear that I'm listening to. And so when I'm writing, I'm inspired by that music and those words, and I start thinking of my own words. And I try not, again, I try real hard, and I never usually use any of the words that I hear. But I had gotten a couple of complaints. I got one from Regina a couple of days ago, and then I got another one from Kathy regarding me playing the same music over and over again. And so I went straight to my producer, and we added about 10 new songs. And I'm going to tell you, I'm looking forward to just listening to every one of those songs and coming up with a poem, because every time I listen to that deep, deep romance and love, it sparks something inside of me, and I just have to try to put something into words. So I want to thank you all again for always keeping me on track. And when you have a complaint, please register your complaint so
it's
I can
address it.
It's
not a complaint, James. Don't say a complaint. It's not a complaint. It's just a suggestion on me and Regina's behalf. It's not a complaint. Just a suggestion. There's a difference.
And no. Well, I heard yesterday from you. You know, you play that Minnie Ripper song too much. Can you get another
well,
love
you,
song?
You do so. You were.
Well, I have to admit, Minnie is one of my favorites, and I realized I was playing it a little bit too much. Oh Lord, we got the whole group here now. The Fantastic Four is together today. How you doing, Regina?
Hello. How are you?
I was just talking about the complaint that you registered based on me not having the proper love music. And so I want you to know I got some serious love music here today. So when we have our break, you'll be hearing some different tunes. You just missed out on Baby Come to Me. I mean, I'm going to have to listen to that one again because there's some serious lyrics in that one.
Boom!
Make that your last song of the day, then, since you love it that much. You need to get come up a little higher. Let's see, you got some Luther out there. I mean, you got something that's a little bit up to date.
Now you hear our audience. See, that ain't a complaint. Now, what do you think that is right there? But I got 10. You have to remember now, this is a man who made the selection. So I am not even sure. I do have some Quincy. But I don't know. Most of them, when I went in there, I found the ladies. So, you know, men love to have ladies singing to them. So you might not get – I did go here. I did get some Quincy, so – we'll see if we can give you a little Quincy later on. You know, but today what we wanted to discuss, you know, I was got in my mind, you know, we're talking about love and we're talking about, you know, the next 10 days. We got 10 more days and we're going to be talking about love. And so I wanted to ask, you know, sometimes you need to talk about the things that you should not do. There are a lot of things that we know we should do, but I think we've yet to talk about what we shouldn't do. And I wanted to ask, you know, because I know there are many of them, but we want to have a little discussion on what you shouldn't do. Where should you draw the line? What line should you not cross when you're searching for that individual that you wish to bring into your circle to have a special relationship with? And so the lines that we shouldn't cross may be taboo. They may be just personal rules that we've set for ourselves, but we need to just talk about what kind of lines that people might cross that may cause them problems later on. Kathy and I yesterday talked about how important it is to try to follow God's rules. And, you know, a lot of rules that God have is for to make sure that we live a better life. And he requires it so that we can have a unique and special love. And so we talked a lot about the one which deals with you're not supposed to fornicate before marriage, and you're supposed to save intimacy until marriage. And but we know that that's not something that's easy to do. And so we had a long discussion about that yesterday. And so we want to talk about some of the lines that you don't cross. I know a lot of ladies talk about the fact that they will never date someone that was someone who was involved with one of their friends. But that's something that people try to tackle a lot. But we see a lot of young ladies who tend to cross that line and destroy friendships. And, Kathy, what are your thoughts about people who get involved with other people's friends' men?
Well, I thought you were going to ask what do I think one of the boundaries or the lines that you shouldn't cross when you get into a relationship, but you didn't ask that question. You asked about the friends. Okay, so it depends on where you are. I'm going to say age-wise, because I know for me, and I'm just speaking for me, when I was in the 10th and 11th grade, I used to date this guy, and we dated for a couple of years. So, and then that was it. And then 20 years later, I married his brother. So, I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know what to say. I don't know how to, what to say about that part, but yes. I mean, but you know what? Listen to this. When I was dating him, his brother always used to look at me, and I would look at him, which is something that you're not supposed to do. But because we were young, I'm going to say because we were young, that we didn't really know, you know, what we were doing. I'm gonna blame it on that, because here it is 20 years later. After that, I actually married the brother. So I don't know. I have questions. I mean, I'll take all questions if there are any.
Well, let me tell you, Kathy, I think you started the show off right. You need to be honest, and only through honesty. Are you able to impact the lives of others? So I just appreciate you being honest, because I drew the line a little low and you took it a little higher, because you took this. But how did that work on Thanksgiving?
You know what? We all came together under one. At my house, and what he said before we actually got married is he told him, he said, I know you guys were young. He said, but bruh, I don't want to cross any lines. Is it okay with you? Now, he told me this like a couple of years ago. I said, you don't have to ask him for his permission. He said, but yeah, there was a code between brothers that was not supposed to be crossed, but because we got together, I said, well, you should have said that when we first started talking, that, hey, because my brother, you know, used to date you, I can't. I said, so evidently, way back when, you were trying to date me at that time. He said, I was looking at you, but because you were with my brother, that I could not cross that boundary. So it worked out. We all come together. He'd be, hey, sis. I'd be like, what's up? You know, hey, what'd you say?
yesterday we talked about there's some things you never forget. And I mean, there are things that you never forget. And so I just would not want to be thinking about what my brother was thinking as you were passing the mashed potatoes. let's go to Joyce. What are your thoughts about that, or do you have anything that can match that?
No, I don't. All I gotta say is different strokes, different folks. But yeah, I kind of believe in the girl code. I don't know. I've never do an interest of dating any of my sister's boyfriends because I guess our taste may be totally different. I do believe in that girl code. But like I say, it's different strokes for different folks. And then what she's saying is that as she aged for maturity, you know, you look at life so differently, you know. And then at the time, I'm assuming they were so young, so it really wasn't a relationship. And you go through so many relationships and so many, you know, I think you do, in growing up. And, you know, it's just one of those things. But, no, I don't have anything to match that.
Well, I want to tell you, ladies, something that you should know, and this may be with younger men. Men, interestingly enough, don't have a boy code or anything like that. So it is real easy for us to, as long as is I guess there's a conception of what we talk to each other and we talk about, you know, things and whether or not that person is important. So usually your friends will tell you who is real important to them and who they don't want you to interact with and that kind of thing. But normally we don't have that same rule about you can't talk to people we've talked to before. So, you know, you may tell someone, hey, this is off limits. So, you know, don't mess with her because she's really, really special, something of that type. But guys just don't necessarily obey any kind of boy codes. We're really kind of very impersonal about those kinds of things. I tell you, to just share with Kathy, I'm not sure it will match Kathy, but I went to school at South Carolina State. And one of the things you found out in South Carolina State, you had to be real careful playing football, that some people like being around football players, and they gravitate toward us. And when you're a freshman, you just don't really know the really ins and outs and the rules of the school. But you better learn them real quick because you'll get in a lot of trouble. And one of the things that the young ladies knew that the guys may not have been aware of when we were freshmen were that there was a rule that you didn't mess with upperclassmen's friends. But when the upperclassmen would go on road trips, everybody knew they were going to be gone for 3 or 4 days. And I remember vividly messing around and being at a party and talking to one of my upperclassmen's friends. And one of my boys had to come over and say, "Boy, you know who girl that is, don't you?" I said, "No, she was, you know, we just that's so-and-so's girl." And mind you, he was about 6'7", 300-plus pounds, and he was a defensive tackle, and he ended up at the Los Angeles Rams. And so I want to tell you that next week I spent scared that he knew that I had spent some time talking to his girl. And I was glad he didn't purposely search me out to give me some repercussions for being in his lady's face. And so, you know, you really quickly have to learn what lines not to cross when it comes to the rules of the game. And that could have been a very painful experience had he found out about me being up in his lady's face. Thank God I didn't go much further than that. But there are some penalties for crossing the wrong line. Audrey, what are your thoughts about crossing lines, and what lines do you make try to make sure you never cross?
Well, I want to go back to your original question when you said about friends. You know, and I think Kathy made a good point about age making a difference. And it also depends on how serious of a connection they had, too. But Joyce mentioned earlier that there is a girl's code, that you just don't date your friends, or whether they're dating or spouses or anything like that, and especially if you're close friends. That's the reason why I said it kind of depends on the relationship. You may just be aware of a person and not necessarily include that person, excuse me, in your circle. So that may be a difference. But if indeed that person is truly a part of your circle and they've dated that person, then I would see that as someone is off limits.
Well, it's important for us to recognize that we have to follow certain rules just so we don't upset the apple cart, so to speak. I see Lorenzo, are you on the air with us today?
Yes, sir. How you doing? How's everybody doing? Yes, sir.
All right. And I'm going to put Lorenzo on the spot because he's a single man in his 40s. Lorenzo, are there any lines that you will not cross that are very important that you pay attention to so not to get in trouble being a single man?
Yeah, actually, I'm in my 50s. I just turned 50 in November. But, you know, one line I know I would never cross would be I would never date somebody who I'm in a relationship with, cousins or sisters. And that happens a lot where the cousins or some of the family members hit on you. And that's a line that's a no deal breaker. No, you know what I mean? I would never cross that line. And back to your point with the friends, I think that's a touchy situation. I always felt that I would never date my friend's girl, which I wouldn't. But I was in church one time, and that came up in church. And they threw out, and most of the women there threw out, one person's trash could be another person's treasure. You know what I mean? And they said, long as you have that conversation with each other and see how they feel about it, you know what I mean, it shouldn't be a problem. So I don't know, you know what I mean, on that level, but I would never date one of my friend's friends, and I definitely wouldn't date none of nobody that I'm dating's family. That's a deal breaker, line cross for me, because I would never sleep that low where I'm going to date somebody's sister or cousin that's in the family.
Well, you know, it is interesting because, as Kathy said, it does make a difference when there is a lot of time lapse between the two. So I do understand what you're saying, Lorenzo. If you just started dating somebody a few years ago and then you get to know their family and that's how it ends and it's not a lot of time in between, that could create some major issues. I do know and aware that to an incident that someone I know actually married the ex-wife of a brother. And that has to be a strange Thanksgiving when those families get together. So, it's, you know, sometimes people are unable to alter their feelings and they just go with it no matter what the backlash may be related to those issues. Regina, what are your thoughts about the lies, what lies you shouldn't cross?
it's probably a very, very difficult situation, like you said, at the Thanksgiving table. Now, I know that I dated the ex of one of my best friends. Now, mind you, I would hear her talking about him, but I never met him. So I never knew his whole name, In fact, I only knew a nickname. And I met him online. And it wasn't that same name. And it was a while into our relationship that I gave said his whole name. And, of course, she was shocked. And I didn't understand. I said, wait a minute, hold on. So at that point, it was very hard to separate where we were. Eventually, you know, the separation did come because it was a very difficult situation. You know, girls like to talk, and it was hard for me to talk knowing that she'd been there. And so that didn't last. But to her defense, she handled it like a champ in the beginning, and she didn't curse and say no. She let me see exactly why she didn't have him anymore. So, you know, I don't think that you should date someone that somebody else that you're very close to has dated, but to each his own. And if the situation can be worked out and handled, then go for it. Especially because there's so few, y'all don't lie, so few, well, supposedly so few men and so many women. I think that's bound to happen a lot these days.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation.
Together.
is James T. Deshay, the host of Thought, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Casey, was that a good selection?
I thought I was back at a card party at my mom's house.
Was that, you know, I have a tough time. Now, was that Al Green?
That was Al Green, and we're going to have to work with them song selections, because if you're trying to get some younger people up in here, we're going to have to do some stuff.
Hey, well,
we might have to get those younger people after Valentine's Day. James, you all right with me, buddy?
hey, you all asked me to go get some, but y'all didn't tell me what to get. But I was enjoying that Al Green. Lorenzo, was he begging or what?
Yeah, he did it the right way. Well, that's my theme song. Let's stay together, Al Green.
At
least till Valentine's Day.
Hey, I don't been there, done that. So that brings back some memories, boy. So you know, I know all you ladies have experienced somebody who don't mess around and got the door closed on them, who on the other side begging to open that you open the door, and because that's just a common trait that we guys always be messing up, and then we not really happy about leaving. And so yeah, that was a little. I think you're right, Lorenzo. I think he was doing a little begging.
Yeah, stay together.
Joyce, what are your thoughts about that little Al Green? I mean, do you remember that song? Are you still with us, Joyce? Andre, do you remember that tune?
I do remember it, and I'm like the ladies. I think you're going to have to mix it up and get a little more selection going on. But, yeah, I do remember that.
Well, Al Green used to be the man, but
just to give you an idea, James, the reason why I think it was Kathy that said for the young people, I know Regina said she is all right with her. Al Green is my mother's favorite. And again, we just celebrated her 98th birthday this weekend, so that gives her an indication.
Well, you know what's amazing about Al is I know everybody remember the story about Al and how he upset a young lady. It is some serious business when you upset the wrong lady. Lorenzo, you remember? Do you remember that story?
I got the hot grits throwed on.
Yeah. I think that story is going to go down in history. It's one of the things you don't do is don't sit around watching no TV while nobody has no grits.
Guess it's a game while they're trying out.
So you know, if your wife or your girlfriend born in grit, you better be you might need to go do some apologize. Kathy, do you remember that story? Are you with me, Kathy?
Yes. Remember, I told you I thought I was at one of the card parties at my mom's house because they used to have a. Card parties on Fridays and Saturdays, and that was one of the theme songs that they played. So I remember us going in the room and turning our TV on, but having to listen to Al Green through the door. So, yes, I remember the story about the grits as well.
There's some things you do in a lifetime. I guess you need to. We all need to be aware that you can make one simple mistake, boy, and it'll live with you the rest of your life. No matter all the great music he made, that story is going to be in the memories of people the rest of their lives. That's amazing. I wanted to share with you all also, you know, when we talk about how small the world is, I remember going to, there was a time, a long, long time ago in my 20s when I used to frequent nightclubs, and I remember meeting someone and giving them my card and saying, sharing with them that we ought to get together for breakfast or lunch or dinner sometime. And that used to be one of the things I used to do in order not to get what we call bad numbers. That was one of the tricks of the trade. Just give out your card, and if the young lady calls you, then she's interested. That was better than asking for her number and then getting the wrong number and dialing her number and her telling you she's always busy. But the world is so small, I ended up marrying a young lady who knew this young lady, and I was told after we started dating, if I had ever dated her or gone out with her for lunch or breakfast, I would have never married my first wife. So some people take those rules very seriously, and, you know, that you don't realize when you're dating people, like Regina says, the world is so small and there's so many different ways to meet people that you're not always aware of who you're meeting and when you're meeting them, who they may be friends with or have had past relationships with. So we're in a very delicate situation when it comes to not trying to cross certain lines. So I agree with you, Regina. You have to be real careful nowadays because there are so many different ways to meet people, and we are so meeting people now through Facebook and through other online dating that we don't know who
yep.
we're talking to.
You don't. I mean,
so are there any...
just
go ahead, Regina.
Just today, a guy that I dated recently, I saw a picture of him yesterday at a Super Bowl party or something, but the picture was by a friend of mine. And so I was like, oh, wow, I just dated him. And she didn't know that I just dated him, but would that keep her from dating him? I mean, she and I are not friends like we speak every day. So another question, what's the boundary? Would I date someone that she had dated and possibly marry that person when I know her, or do you have to have more of a relationship with that friend or that person before you can discount anybody that she has dated? Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Well, I think there has to be some guidelines to that rule. I don't know if that rule can be hard and fast, especially if people were just casually dating. And maybe they would just enjoy going out, and it was never serious. So I think there has to be some rules to that issue before you make it a hard and fast rule.
Yeah, I think that's what I was saying when I said earlier, it depends on how serious that relationship is, not only with your friend, but also the interested party that may be known to both parties. So I think you have to kind of look at it individually, but I think the common combination in which we all agree upon that you have some conversation about it, and then that will kind of help determine what the next steps will be.
Yeah, you know, people get upset about a lot of different things. One of my closest friends in college actually married someone I dated once, and it didn't bother me, so we got along fine. It was several years after I had dated her and that kind of thing. But let me just tell you, that didn't bother me. And this young lady that he married, she came and spent some time living at my mother's house before they got married. And what did upset the apple cart was once my mother had our house covered, and this young lady needed a place to spend a few hours because the house was covered, and she couldn't come there from work. And so I invited her to come stay at my house when I was married at that time. And do you know, I got so much flack from letting this ex-girlfriend, who was now dating someone else, into my house. I just couldn't believe that it was that big a deal, but my wife had some major problems.
It was.
With, I don't understand that. I'm not dating her. There's a reason for her not being able to go home, and I thought that was really legitimate. So that crossed the line because she was an old girlfriend dating one of my best friends. What in the world were we going to do? Relive the past? Well,
was your wife home?
I didn't do. No, she wasn't. She got home later.
Damn.
But she wasn't home at the time.
No, sir.
I cannot believe. Well, I caught a lot of flack. I never let it happen again. But
very good.
Yeah, obviously,
you learned your
there's
lesson.
A lot of lines out there not to cross. And and ladies really, really feel really serious about some of those boundaries. Well, Regina, can you explain why that was a big deal?
A woman does not want another woman in her house, especially when she is not home. And who's to say that that woman that you allowed into your house didn't want to cross boundaries or didn't want to relive the past? And who's to say that you had the strength to allow her to not to make her back off? Men can be weak, and men can be naive sometimes, or at least they say they are. So those are boundaries too. I would not go into another woman's house. I don't even call another. I don't call a home of a of like a deacon or somebody at my church unless I speak with the wife first. And then I'll tell them what I'm calling for, and they may say, "Oh, Regina, here, talk to this man," or something like that. You don't have to go through all of that. Or they'll say they appreciated me telling them. There's a boundary. There's a line of respect also. More so than boundaries, it's respect.
Audrey, do you find that to be valid?
In most cases, yes. It depends on if the spouse is aware of the friend and have communicated with her. But Regina's right. In order to just keep situations from becoming more than what they should, the best thing is not to have a member of the opposite spouse there when the other spouse is not home. And you're speaking to the deacon's wife or the pastor's wife first. They may not say that you don't have to do it, but they surely appreciate it, and they realize the respect that you're giving them. In reality, I think you're just respecting that household, because I would want the same for myself.
That's right.
And that, you know, I find it odd that scenario that you're trying to protect against happens a lot in churches. You know, I mean, the fact that male ministers have to self-guard themselves from the congregation by having a woman in the room when they're ministering to women, or them crossing the line when it comes to their membership. We hear that a lot, and it's interesting that we say that. And I guess there's some kind of special feeling that is created between a minister and his female congregation. Regina, you're involved with a lot of churches. Is that something that people really have to safeguard themselves from, because it seems to be a story that is heard a lot?
Well, I'm going to answer that and then I'm going to say something else. That's why they have what they call armor bearers in some churches. Now, our church, we're a Baptist church. I don't think we necessarily have an armor bearer, but we do have a deacon that travels with our minister sometimes. So, and that is to protect, because there are some wily women out there. But the other thing is, it's a difference between the word boundaries and the word respect. And I do what I do by introducing myself. If I walk up on a classmate of mine and he's with his wife, or she's at the cash register and he's standing at the end of the counter, I will speak to him, but guess what? I will say, is that your wife? And I will go and introduce myself to her. That's showing that not only do I have respect, but I respect myself too. And that's how I would want someone to do, you know, to treat me. You treat people the way you want to be treated.
Lorenzo, I'm gonna put you on the spot. You and I had a conversation about a very wild story that you were telling me about the other day. Lorenzo, are you strong enough to share it with the lady?
About my Jacksonville?
No.
Story was that?
The one about the minister.
I'm not sure which one that was.
You know, we talk a lot.
we had a lot of conversation. When the minister got caught in my bathroom.
Yeah.
The one got caught in my bathroom. That was a serious situation. But you know, I had a woman pastor and we had another lady that was in the church, and the woman pastor and the lady friend used to be around each other a whole lot. I mean, more than her and her husband were together, because the pastor was a married woman. And two of the ladies, I had a big old house. I mean, it was a real big house. And they went in one of the bathrooms in the back of the house, and they went in there together, and they was in there for about 45 minutes in the bathroom. And when they came out the bathroom, two of the ladies spotted them, because I had I invited the whole church over, and I did like a seafood fest. So my house was crowded with the whole church was at my house. So two of the ladies spotted the pastor and the lady coming out of the bathroom. And when they came out the bathroom, their lipstick was smeared all over their face. And so the ladies assumed right away that they was in there kissing, because their lipstick was smeared all over the face. So it became a big issue and a big thing where, until this day, the pastor never admitted to anything that she wasn't gay and I got a husband. But what she did was she taught the message for the next 3 months on how you protect your pastor at any cost. And I thought it was kind of odd, because, you know what I mean, if you're doing wrong, you know what I mean, you don't hide or cover it. I don't care if you're a pastor or whoever you are, you know what I mean? You got to pray for it so we can fix the problem or help you get some help with the problem. But the thing was, don't let nobody talk about your pastor. You cover your pastor at all times. Don't let nobody ever come against you and your pastor. And we're talking 3 months worth of service of that message of how to protect your pastor because of that situation. And until this day, which is like 10 years later, they're still closer. And the other lady friend has done left for her husband, and her and the pastor to this day are very, 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 very close. It's an odd situation, And like I said, that's a serious situation because I till this day, the pastor still has never stood in that pulpit, which could have shut it down. If she'd have stood in that pulpit and said, I have a husband, I'm not gay, she never addressed that situation, but she went all the way around to make everybody cover the pastor and say, don't never let no one talk about your pastor.
Ooh. That wasn't the story, but that was a hot one there, Lorenzo. Okay. Well, we know that there is a lot of desire and passion on all sides, and people need to protect themselves from things that might get away from them when you're in close proximity to someone that you might have feelings for. We do make mistakes, but I don't know sure if that's a mistake that you can recover from, Regina.
Well,
I'm putting you on the spot now so you can deal with that one, Regina.
Well,
let me take you, Regina.
Go ahead.
Well, I think I have an issue with that because my thing is that, you know, a lot of people go to the church for a minister for God and the whole bit. And, you know, I've always, you know, how can you preach or teach me something when you're not doing it? You know, you're not living by the commandment. I had an incident, and it took me a while to really go back to the churches because when I had some issues with my son's dad, my oldest son's dad, I went to the minister's allegiance, and at that time they were all black ministers, and I had asked them to go to court with me to represent. And one of the ministers tried to hit on me, and I had a problem with that. I was young at the time, and even though probably if I wouldn't, it's that how I looked up to the ministers and what did I look up them for. And then to try to hit on me at that time, it took me a while to really go back to the church. I've always heard that some people look at ministers as being, they can look out amongst their flock. You know, they call their congregation their flock. And my thing is that for a church to protect a minister when they know that they're doing wrong, you know, what type of church is that? You know, what type of foundation are you preaching on? And I have a real problem with that.
And I think you have to ask yourself that. You know, a lot of times, congregations are aware of things that their ministers are doing that they should take into account because you have that man ministering to your soul and sharing with you how you're supposed to love and care for one another, but yet they may be crossing lines that are inappropriate. And certainly people ought to be willing to address whether or not they're at the right place, getting the right information, because love is so important, and we have to know what lines should and shouldn't be crossed. Kathy, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I wasn't there. I don't know the story, nor did I see, so I can't comment on that situation. No one knows what happened behind the bathroom, but it's just an assumption when they came outside of the bathroom. So with that being said, I cannot comment on that.
Well, what are your thoughts about how important it is, especially in the church, for people not to cross the line because people's souls can be lost?
That's true, but you know the church is just like a hospital. We're all going there to get fixed, to get repaired, to get healed from something. So it depends on where the person is in their walk with the Lord. It may be new baby Christians, you know, that are in there that's doing this. I don't know, but I'm saying that as a believer, when you're inside of the church and you see stuff like that, or you even hear about it, you're supposed to pray about it. You know, we're not supposed to gossip about it or talk about it or bring it up. That's what
the problem is in the church right now is that instead of us getting on our knees and taking this stuff to the Lord, who can change everything, who can remove those that are wrong and not doing the right thing, we sit around and we say what we would have did or what we should do or how it should work out. That's, like I said, that's not my role. And I just don't want to make any comments regarding that because I wasn't there or in that situation. And I know that in the Bible it says that if someone has sin, they need to bring it before the church, you know. So those are the type of things that you bring before the church. Or if your brother has sin, then you take another person with you and you go to him, you know, regarding that. So that's my take on it.
All right, we're going to take a short break and come back and continue our conversations about what lines you should respect and not cross, and how do we make sure we honor what love truly is. Find a way to honor it in a way that we don't disrespect it. And a lot of times there are people who swear that they're in love or who find themselves in very lustful situations who don't understand or appreciate that they're not respecting the love the way they should. And so we do need to have lines and barriers or obstacles that we don't try to get over because what's on the other side may not be in our very best interest in a long-time relationship. And we all are seeking to have the kind of relationship that can bring us happiness and joy beyond the norm. And so we want to make sure we always realize that God's greatest gift needs to be respected. Audrey, what are your thoughts about needing to respect what is I consider, and hopefully you consider, God's greatest gift to us is love and happiness and joy that we can find in a connection with the opposite sex?
I'm sorry, you broke up. I couldn't hardly hear part of it. Would you repeat the question?
I was just asking, what do you think is important about honoring God's greatest gift to us is the joy and happiness that we can get from a connection of love between the sexes.
Well, first you have to be in a position where you love yourself first. We do know love conquers all; it prevails. It, you know, never fails. We understand all of that, but in order to, I think, really identify with the love that the Lord has planned for us and to really receive it, we have to be in a position of loving ourselves first before we can take that step of connecting and loving someone, again, at the level in which the Lord really designed for us. So that's my view, and that comes with time. You have to be at a place to know that you are worthy of being loved, how to love yourself. Then you'll be able to love others.
And we can't distort what God has given us. You know, we have to make sure that we don't bring into the gift something that totally takes it away from what its true meaning is and its value is. George, you spoke about somebody crossing the line, but it is important that we respect God's gift and not distort it and mistreat it, isn't it?
Because you know, certain people, I think when you look at your ministers and you look at the people with the cloth and you look at, you know, you go and they should have a different standard than the person that they're trying to guide and guidance and lead them towards the light. I mean, like, to take Obama. Let's just say him for a change. One thing that I could respect about him and what I like about him, he was in a position no different than Bill Clinton and the Bushes, who had a relationship, the Kennedys. But one thing I like about him, he let you know from the jump street, oh, yeah, you might try, but I love me some Michelle Obama. He's letting you know what he's going to do, and he respects his household. He respects that woman, and that's just what it is. I look at a minister the same way, is that, you know, you got all these people in your congregation going to you for guidance in the whole bit, and temptation may be there, but that's where you should set yourself apart from the others, you know. And you're sending mixed signals out there, you know. And what are you teaching your congregation? You know, half of the people, your congregation talking about you because they know about the relationship that you're having with another one of your church members. It's just, you know, I mean, you know, some people can deal with that. Some people can go, you know, a minister can come and say that he sinned or whatever. And those are things that he would have to deal with. But to me, I would have to change my congregation. He could not guide me and lead me towards anything once I know that he has committed adultery.
And, Regina, what are your final thoughts related to that? How do we make sure that we respect God's greatest gift to us?
Are you talking about our temples, our body, or what?
No, I'm talking about God has given us the ability to love and to have a genuine connection with another human being opposite of the opposite sex, how do we make sure we respect it and treat it the way it's supposed to be treated and not distort it and make it ugly?
Well, I believe that you have to have, as I said, self-love, and you have to have self-respect, and you have to know what you will and what you will not stand for, and you have to have a sure direction for where you want to go, and you can't deviate from that direction. So that's how you protect love. If you know that there's something that you want out of a relationship and you know you're not getting it where you are, and you try and you try, in order to protect your idea of love, then you have to move on. You can't just accept anything and try to color it love.
And Lorenzo, what are your thoughts? How do you make sure that you protect that most valuable gift between you and another person when you find that you're in love and you want to keep it unique and special?
You know, one thing what I do is I believe in giving it. As long as I give it, I want to give it my all. You know what I mean? I want to be everything. You know what I mean? Because I feel that if you're not putting in 100%, you're not going to get 100%. So what I do now is when I got my divorce, I realized my mistake. I wasn't a complete man. I was more of a yes man. I just, everything she said, yes, okay, I agree. You know, thinking that was the right thing to do. So when I got my divorce, I said I want to work on being the best me that I can be. So if I ever do get in a marriage or get in a relationship, then I'm going to be the best me that I can be. Whether it's mowing the yard, doing homework, doing chores, or whatever. So, as well as paying bills. So, you know what I mean? I just figure that if you love yourself, respect yourself, you don't have to worry about the boundaries, because respect covers a whole lot of that stuff. So I just like to respect myself first, and my character means a lot. And as long as I keep my character intact, you know what I mean, everything else will fall in place.
All right. Kathy, what is your final thought in terms of respecting the gift of love, the blessing that God has given us to enjoy the connection between a man and a woman?
Everything everybody else said piled onto on two pieces of bread. That's love.
Well, I tell you what, guys, we got another 10 days to go as we march toward Valentine's Day. And let me just ask this quick question. And I want you guys to be truly honest. Kathy, who is Valentine's Day for? Is it for the actual couple, or is it for the woman, or is the man really a benefactor of Valentine's Day? Who was Valentine's Day made for?
Well, let's go in the world standpoint, it's for the world, because these people are generating all of this money, you know, for their gain. But it could be for both parties, because the man is going to receive extra special gifts on that day, as well as the woman. So everybody gets a balloon on that day.
All right, Joyce, what are your thoughts? Is Valentine's Day for the man or for the woman, or is it for a couple to enjoy?
I think it's for a couple. Like I say, I remember that is my anniversary. I got married on Valentine's Day. I did that for two reasons, because I like Valentine, February 14th, and also that made it easy for my husband that he would never forget our anniversary.
All right.
So I would say for the couple. It is definitely for the couple.
Okay. Audrey, you, it's a few of us on the line who are single. Audrey and Regina and Lorenzo and myself. What are we going to do Valentine's Day. Audrey?
Well, I don't know what you're going to do, Mr. Shaver. I'm going to go back to your original question of who's Valentine's for. And I think Valentine is for everyone. And Kathy was right. People have turned it into another money maker. But if it's an opportunity to just kind of set aside and express love, I think men may receive something. I don't think they'll receive something at the level of what females probably should receive. But it goes back to, you know, when you give love, you receive love. And the thing about it is, you know, the scripture that said be submissive, for the wives to be submissive, and I think we've talked about that. If you have a God-fearing man, it's not necessarily that you're really being submissive, but you are aligning with what God is asking you to know that he loves you enough that he's going to take your interest into account. He's going to take your concern, and you trust him enough that he is covering you and looking out for your best. So if he can love you in that manner, surely when it's Valentine's Day, females can express love to males. But it's all about making sure that the woman is happy from my perspective. Just a little side note. That may be a little biased.
Hello.
Hey, well, I believe that's true. And I'm just glad you had the ability to say it, because I know that is a true statement. Kathy, what are your thoughts in regards to, you know, what does Valentine mean to a single lady like yourself? Do you got some plans we need to know about?
Kathy?
Regina. I'm sorry.
Oh, Kathy, you can clear that up.
Kathy, you know I wasn't talking to her.
Kathy, her husband sitting over there saying, when did she get this? James, that's so funny.
That was a sip.
What does it mean? It's 2700 Seminole Road, Columbia, South Carolina, 29210. That's the address that somebody's going to send some flowers to. That's what it means to me.
So somebody better be on their job, huh? Well, I'm sure that you'll get your wish. Lorenzo, what does Valentine's mean to you? That you're a single man. What do you have to do for this upcoming Valentine's Day?
You know, I just look at Valentine's Day as a day of love, and I you know, since I don't have a partner in that era, you know what I mean, I make my daughters my Valentine, so I buy them Valentine's Day gift and cards. Especially if they single daughters, you know what I mean? Because I don't want them to miss out or thinking they got to get a man just to get a card or a balloon on that day. So I'll be their Valentine's.
You go, Lorenzo.
That's really nice, Lorenzo. That's the right thing to do.
My dad always made us his Valentine. Always. Every year until he was placed in a facility, we always got cards and flowers.
Well, you know, Valentine's Day may be another day that I'll be on the air by myself. I'll just put it out there. You know, I'm, I know I'm gonna be on the radio, so I don't know about nobody else. but I am starting to feel a little nostalgia, because I you know, that whole process of sending flowers and getting ready for that evening, going to dinner, and I really miss it, and so that's amazing.
overrated and too expensive.
Oh, Lord. I hear you. Well, I get a little nostalgia. What I'm going to do for Miss Regina, since she missed it, now I want you all to know I'm on top of my game. I do have to go get some young people, music for young people, but I want to make sure Regina gets to hear her song. And I just want to thank you all for being here with me this evening. And us going through this, we got 10 more days left, I believe, before Valentine's Day. And then we'll switch over to a new topic and take it out the remainder of February. But I just want to thank you guys for all that you've done. I did email you guys, so look in your email and read the little note that I sent to you so that you'll have an update of where we are as a show. And just know that you are doing a fantastic job, and we're actually reaching out to a lot of different individuals and providing a service where people can call in and have their voices heard about love, about reflection, and just thoughts about where we're going as a nation. And so it's real important. And so we need to be prepared and ready. I want to encourage you all to go to my website, www.jamestdeshay.com. I want to encourage you to write me at djames82@aol.com. Let me know what it is that you would like to talk about. We are a station or a show that will allow us to discuss any topic with respect, and your opinion will be respected. So it's important for us to make sure that we have the freedom and the ability to share the thoughts that are needed for us to make a difference. So I want you all to take care, and I want you all to enjoy the new music we have on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection.
Thinking back in time when love was only in my mind, I realized ain't no second chance. You got to hold on to romance, don't let it slide. There's a special kind of magic in the air when you find another heart that needs to share. When you know that love is standing by your side.